It's time for Let's Talk on WPPA, AM 1360, A106 FM, and on the web at WPPARadio.com. Stories making news, special guest interviews, your phone calls, and more. The views expressed on Let's Talk are not necessarily those of the management or staff of WPPA. Now, here's your host, Jay-Z.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to it. It is the third Tuesday of the month in our first hour. That means it's time for our Let's Talk program. Red Creek Wildlife Center and Schuylkill Headwaters here in studio once again. John Bondora and company. John, welcome. And boy, we've got a full house with you guys this morning. That's what we like.
Full house today, Jay-Z.
Don't call the fire marshal.
That's right. Show number 8 of 2026.
Yes.
Four more to go before we get to 2027. Hopefully we'll still be doing this at that time, but we'll see what happens. Just real quick, a couple loyal listeners, Johnny Tarson from Frackville, John Armstrong, Frank Crampton, Danielle and Heather, you know who you are. And I'd like to special reach out to John and Louise Clazis on their anniversary. Many, many years. I hope they have many, many years to go. So a full room today, like you said, Jay-Z. We have Hannah Kulbitsky, that Hemlock Hannah, a.k.a., with us. We have Peggy Hentz from the Red Creek Wildlife Center. We have the infamous Porcupine Pat McKinney from the Conservation District. And last but least, my younger brother, Steve Yaleski from the Gordon Game and Fish. Steve, we're gonna throw this right over to you quick. I know you have some other obligations. So give us a rundown on what you're doing up there north of the mountain, and we'll go from there.
So the summer is kind of, I'll say, our quiet time in some ways. You know, in the spring we did our kids rodeo and the mentor day and then our members recognition. So we have all of our events in the spring when it's trout fishing season. So we got a little bit of a break in June and July, but now we're switching gears and we're getting ready for the arrival of our fingerlings. We'll be getting approximately 8,500 fingerling trout sometime in September. So there's a lot of work to do to get ready for them. We have some repairs to do at our nursery, some masonry repairs. The last couple of winters have taken their toll on some of the concrete that's probably there since the 70s, I believe.
Wow.
So we had a meeting there last night, and we're going to be doing a little bit of a facelift on things here in the next couple of weeks so that we're ready for the fish when they arrive. Unfortunately, these last few years have been so dry. And as you know, John, we have two nurseries, but the second nursery is a little more dependent on rainfall, and there's not enough water there right now to run that one. So we'll get everything ready, and we'll have the fingerlings in September. So as I say every time I'm on here, if there's anybody that would like to come out and help, we have a Facebook page, Gordon Game and Fish, and we also have a website now, which is gordonpagameandfish.net. So there's information there and how to be involved. But we're pretty active on Facebook, so if you follow our Facebook page, we usually try to put meetings on there and different events that we're having.
So, Steve, I just want to reiterate a little bit. You're getting 8,500 fingerling trout. For those of you that don't know what that is, there are little guys about 3 to 5 inches long. They're provided by the Pennsylvania Fish and Boat Commission to organizations like Steve's, and what happens is they deliver these small fish, and your responsibility is to raise these little fish into big fish. So by time spring comes, it's kind of expected that these organizations will have legal-sized trout added to the amount of trout that are stocked and allocated by the Pennsylvania Fish and Boat Commission. One of the requirements is that these fish that Steve's Club raises and the other cooperative nurseries raise, these fish are put into waters that are open to public fishing. In addition to that, some of these fish are used for, I'm going to have to say, educational purposes, if that might be correct, for children's fishing derbies and rodeos. And what that does is supplies fish for the youngsters to catch, expose them to fishing here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and of course gives them outdoor opportunities. And if you catch a fish, Jay-Z, this applies to you.
Yes.
If you catch a fish once in a while, it makes fishing a lot more interesting.
It does. Yes, it does.
So, again, this program is very interesting. Steve has actually two hatcheries that he's maintaining at the cost of his club. Also, the cost of the fish and everything else that goes along with that, whether it be land rent, electricity, whatever the case is basically burdened by the money that comes in donations or fundraisers for these organizations. So, you know, if there's anybody out there that is interested in joining an organization like the Gordon Game and Fish that has a cooperative nursery and that does supplement fish for the upcoming trout season, I would suggest that you could join Steve's club. And the last I knew, Steve, and correct me if I'm wrong, it was only a $10 fee to join the Gordon Game and Fish?
Yeah, it's a $10 membership. And like you said, we stock a number of waterways in the area, of course, because for Gordon Game and Fish, one of our biggest waterways is the Little Monomoy Creek. And we put a lot of fish in there, and that's where we host our events, like the Kids Rodeo in May. And like I've said in previous times I've been on, we, in cooperation with Gordon Burrow, make the park kids only, 15 and under, for that month of May. And that's been very successful. It gives the kids of the area a place to fish, and we try to keep it stocked. But we also put fish in the Whippoorwill Dam, Deep Creek. We get a lot down in Monotongo Creek, and sometimes a little bit in Pine Creek. So we try to spread them out throughout the area. And, you know, we have a lot of support down that Monotongo area. I have a friend down there that gets a lot of fish down that way too. So we do expand our reach a little bit. And like you were talking about, everything is based on volunteers. We have a group of volunteers that organize our events and guys that go down and feed the fish daily and take care of the fish. And so we're a 501c3 and we're dependent on the businesses supporting us and individuals supporting us. We do annual fundraising, and I actually have a list of all of our sponsors. I'd like to recognize everybody today. That's we recognize everybody on Facebook, and I try to quickly read our list off here so we can give a shout-out to all of our businesses. So I'll read through this pretty quick. So this year, our sponsors have been the American Legion in Ashland, the Ashland Area Rotary, Ashland Gun Club, Awestruck Entertainment, Best Ever Market, Bixler Country Meats, Bixler Stumps and Trees, Broad Mountain Archers, Bob Weaver Auto, Senio's Pizza, the Copper Creek Taxidermy, Dietrich Auction Service, Fabrizio's, Faye's General Auto Repair, Frackville Elks, Vision Sound, Good Fellowship Club, Gordon Burrow, Green's Family Restaurant, Grudy Electric, Grudy Oil, Joe Thurr's Automotive, Kinchapel Insurance, Lavelle Motors, Legacy Dental, Mays Drive-In, Metz Properties, MI Windows and Doors, Patterson Hardscape and Supplies, Phoenix Physical Therapy and Frackville, Red Oak Hydraulics, Red, White, and Blue Auto, Schuylkill Headwaters, of course, Schuylkill Area Community Foundation, South End Field and Stream, The Tackle Box, Tractor Supply, Tradition Taxidermy, Walmart, Wiconisco Creek Anglers Association, Wise Markets, Universal Forest, M&T Bank, and TJ McAndrew Excavating. So you can see that's quite a list of people supporting us in the community, allowing us to do what we do, whether it's through monetary donations or people coming out and doing work for us. You know, we've had a number of contractors come out and do some excavating and work around our nurseries. And even individuals that, you know, when they pay their $10 membership, they might give us $5, they might give us $100 a donation, but that all goes towards keeping the nursery operating. You know, it's not a cheap endeavor, as you know. I think the food is $40 for a 50-pound bag, and we usually use about 4,000 to 5,000 pounds of food, so that adds up.
It adds up real quick. And just for the record, Steve, I'm very pleased with the quality and quantity of a fish that you guys are raising. The Gordon Gaiman fish did give some of their beautiful brown and rainbow trout to Schuylkill Headwaters this spring. Those fish were planted actually in some streams and ponds as far south in the county as Schuylkill Haven, and the fish were fantastic, very healthy fish. So I'd like to thank the Gordon Gaiman Fish on behalf of Schuylkill Headwaters for the camaraderie and the fantastic condition of the fish that were provided. Like Steve said, it costs a lot of money to do this, and it's everything done is for the public. Everything is waters open to the public where these fish are stocked, and good organization. Steve, my hat's off to you guys up there north of the mountain. Keep moving forward. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you. I guess we got to feed them a little bit more this year because they changed the minimum size limit from 7 to 9 inches.
That's correct. So
I got to grow them a little bigger.
I'll go there right now. On July 27th, the Pennsylvania Fish and Boat Commission passed a change to the regulations for the size of trout in Pennsylvania. It's currently the minimum size trout that you're allowed to harvest is 7 inches. That has changed as of January 1st, 2027. It's increased 2 inches to a 9-inch minimum size limit. And pretty much I'm under the understanding that was done to protect some of the native brook trout populations that we have in the waters of the Commonwealth. Little bit of information on the brook trout. The brook trout is Pennsylvania's only native trout, and it certainly needs to have a certain degree of protection. So what's happening is the spawning adult trout are trying to be protected to ensure future generations of our only native trout here in Pennsylvania.
I think I think that should be a good change, in my opinion. Seven's not a very big fish, you know. So we typically, most of our fish are probably in the 10 to 12 inch range on average when we stock them. As you know, the last couple of years we had some really big ones. I know we stocked some that were, I think we stocked one that was 11 or 12 pounds this year.
Wow!
But unfortunately for next year, we don't have any of those big fish. Usually we hold them over and grow them a little bit, but because of the repairs I was talking about earlier, our nurseries are completely empty right now, so we can do the concrete repairs. But somehow those big ones find a way to hide.
They do.
And when you start emptying things, I didn't even realize some of them are in there. So we had some surprises as we evacuated things. So
good. Okay, while we're talking about trout, the recent rains kind of really didn't raise the level of our streams here in Schuylkill County. The beautiful rain we had on Sunday was kind of absorbed by our foliage and our plants and everything. I'm gonna guess we should still be very careful if we're gonna trout fish now. Water temperatures are still high, and if anybody knows a little bit about water temperature and trout fishing, once the water hits about 68 degrees. Trout become like you feel when you're out working in the yard all day in the sun. You get lethargic. You kind of want to go take a nap on the recliner. Your body feels stressed. And I would recommend that, number one, you don't fish for trout right now. If you need to fish for trout, maybe you want to do it in the morning or in the evening, when the water is a couple degrees cooler. And again, you have to remember and understand that these fish are living creatures. They experience some of the same feelings that humans feel. They get hot, they get cold, they get hungry, they get tired, and they get stressed out. Stress is a big factor in pretty much any living thing. So, you know, if you're going to fish, maybe try to do some bass fishing. There's a lot of excellent places to do that. But give the trout a break, at least into September. And one of the other things, too, is right now here in late August, I've already noticed in the headwaters of the Schuylkill River near Tuscarora, some of the brook trout are starting to get colored up. And what happens is the male brook trout, their colors get more predominant than the colors are the rest of the year. It's done for spawning purposes, and it's one of the things that's kind of neat in nature, that some of the features change. Some of the male brook trout develop a lower hook jaw, which is called a kipe, and it's just kind of neat to see that some of these fish are starting to travel upstream to look for a nesting site. The brook trout generally spawn in September and October. However, I've already seen some pre-spawning activity starting to take place in the Schuylkill River system. So hopefully we get another great generation of brook trout in our streams for next year. The 9-inch limit will definitely change and probably save another year class or two of mature spawning brook trout.
And with that, we're going to take a quick break, folks. We'll come back with more after these messages right here on WPPA.
How many times have you heard,
"I'm bored, there's nothing to do around here"?
You're wrong. Here's why.
Explore Schuylkill is your destination for all things Schuylkill. From outdoor recreation to attractions, events, and accommodations, Explore Schuylkill can tell you where to go, what to do, and how to get there. They even have a craft beverage trail. Download an app and discover local breweries, wineries, and distilleries. Be a tourist in your own backyard. Visit Explore Schuylkill at their location along Union Street in Pottsville or check them out online at schuylkill.org.
Tune in tonight for Philadelphia Phillies baseball on WPPA, AM 1360, and 105.9 FM, A106.
The Phils continue their homestand this evening with the middle game of a three-game series against the Miami Marlins from Citizens Bank Park. First pitch is set for 6:40.
It all gets underway with the Lehigh Valley Health Network pregame show 30 minutes prior to the first pitch. Phillies baseball on WPPA, AM 1360, and 105.9 FM, A106.
Best of luck to Tom Caulfield of Pottsville. Tom is our Rodnick's Discount Groceries Hoagie Home Run Payoff Inning contestant for tonight's Phillies-Marlins game. Our payoff inning will be the bottom of the fifth. If a Phillies batter goes yard in the bottom of the fifth, Tom will win a delicious 7-inch sub of his choice, courtesy of Rodnick's Discount Groceries. If a Phillies batter hits a grand slam, it's a hoagie tray, courtesy of Rodnick's. Best of luck to Tom Caulfield of Pottsville, and best of luck to the Phils.
Your health matters. Now, here's Yana Derillis.
Your body might have a secret winter mode switch. Turns out your biological clock isn't one size fits all. It swaps gears with seasons. According to a study from Washington State University, researchers found fruit flies produce a special winter version of a key clock gene that slows activity and pauses reproduction until conditions improve. Scientists say the discovery could shape future pest control and even shed light on seasonal conditions like seasonal affective disorder in humans. So next time you're hibernating on the couch in January, it turns out that's just your biological clock changing gear. A new study from the University of California, Irvine, published in Current Obesity Report, suggests that a father's health before conception may influence a child's future risk of obesity. Tip of the day, step outside and kick off your shoes and spend a few minutes barefoot on the grass or sand. Your health matters. I'm Yana Derulis for the Worldwide News Network.
When you're in a small town, word gets out fast. Everybody's looking for the 31st T102 WPPA football guide.
And it's here.
It has everything you need before kickoff. schedules, stats, features, behind-the-scenes stories, and all the hometown football you can handle. Instead of asking, where can I get one?
Be the one who already did.
Pick up your free football guide at local sponsors, game nights, or the T102 studio. The word is out.
The T102 WPPA football guide is here.
Find every pickup location on T102SportsNow.com.
We've all been there, faced with a physical setback. Whether you've suffered a sports injury that takes you out of the game, or your aches and pains are keeping you from doing what you love, we all want the same thing, to get your life back. Thankfully, you can trust the region's only nationally ranked orthopedic team to help get you there. At Lehigh Valley Orthopedic Institute, we turn setbacks into comebacks, one movement at a time. Lehigh Valley Orthopedic Institute. Comebacks begin here.
Welcome back, folks. Hour number one of the program. It is the third Tuesday of the month in our first hour. That means it's the Red Creek Wildlife Center and Schuylkill Headwaters show for this Tuesday morning. John Bondur and company in studio with us. Welcome back, John.
Okay, Jay-Z, let's get right to it here.
Yes.
We have a lot of things to go over. Back in the beginning of the month, a fishing boat deployed 65 fish cribs, which are fish habitat devices in Tuscarora Lake, with the cooperation of the members of the Friends of Tuscarora and Locust Lake State Parks. And these things are basically wooden cubes with vegetation in them. They're dropped in the strategic parts of the lake and weighted down. And what they do is they provide fish habitat for the species of fish that are in the lake. So it's certainly a benefit to the fishermen, if nothing else, plus the benefits to the aquatic organisms and the fish and the environment of the lake. So hats off to those people who were willing to sacrifice and volunteer their time to do that. Just a couple commercials real quick. The Fall Sportsman's Bingo is down in Goodwill Hose in Cressona, Saturday, November 7th. Doors open at 11. Bingo starts at 1. It looks like it's all about the guns, and it's usually a packed event. So mark your calendar for Saturday, November 7th. Get in touch with the people down at the firehouse in Cressona. And sounds like it's a good day. Next commercial is in New Philadelphia, in my town. Holy Cross Church is having their annual basket raffle and bake sale. The shop and drop is this Friday, 5:30 to 7:30. Saturday, 4:30 to 7:30. And Sunday, August 23rd. After the 10:45 Mass, and that is till 2 o'clock. The tickets will be drawn on Sunday, August 23rd, at 2 p.m. Winners will be notified by phone, and it will be held at the Holy Cross Parish Center in New Philadelphia. It's usually a nice event. There's well over 100 baskets that you could drop a ticket into. Certainly a good fundraiser for the Holy Cross Church in New Philadelphia. Jay-Z, you told me you have a question for me.
Well, I had people, I thought your ears were burning earlier, John, because I have the best listeners, I always say that, and they always alert me. I had a listener alert me to this before it actually became official, and wanted to know if you were coming in, because he said you'd be the perfect guy to weigh in on it. And that is the story that's out there now. This one was, according to CBS News 21, out of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania Game Commission ending its deputy game warden program, eliminating 145 positions after more than a century of service. The program will officially end on September 1st. And the way it happened, let me just read this to you because it'll take a second. The folks who were working hard and doing a great job received this on an email. Quote, effective Tuesday, September 1st, 2026, the Pennsylvania Game Commission's Deputy Game Warden Program will be ending. Deputies have been part of the Pennsylvania Game Commission for 123 years. Coming to this decision was very difficult and was not reached without intense consideration. However, cessation of the program is a natural evolution of modern professional conservation law enforcement. Current deputy game wardens are required to return all issued equipment to their respective regions by Thursday, October 1st of 2026. Thank you for your service and dedication. 123 years, and they put out that paragraph. John, that sucks.
That's probably not a good thing. I can't speak for the Pennsylvania Game Commission, but I've been part of the Pennsylvania Fish and Boat Commission for 28 years as a member of the deputy program. And I was a little surprised to see that news release. I don't want to say it was a rude way to bail out, but it was a shocking way of eliminating a program where there was so many people involved and their hearts were in the outdoors. I can tell you from personal experience that when I came on in 1981, I was immediately sent to the fish school up in Center County to get my my training, which was very intense, many weekends, many sacrifices, and we studied everything from constitutional law to fish and boat law to environmental law. Actually, we had some people from the Pennsylvania Game Commission come in and teach us about the game law. I believe in Section 901 of the Fish and Boat Code that the officers were able to enforce each other's laws at one time. I've been away from fish and boat since 2009. I did my service for 28 years from 1981 to 2009. When I first came on the Fish and Boat Commission, my first assignment at that time was in Erie County for the Coho Salmon Run. Believe it or not, I wrote my first violation in Erie County for snagging of salmon, and also wrote many warnings. The program at that time was very intense. They sent any officer who wanted to go, whether they were full-time officers or deputy officers, to help out. At that time, the Lake Erie Coho Salmon Run, again, was intense. There were thousands and thousands of people fishing there. And, of course, when you have big fish, you have violations. So I started off on a very interesting assignment, spent 5 days in Erie, and came back and did 5 days more. And that happened for several years. So I was pretty seasoned on enforcing the fish law. And in my experience, I had patrolled in many counties throughout the Commonwealth, have pulled a patrol boat, done many fishing schools, and I was at the left hand of my full-time officers, which the full-time officers that I worked under were great individuals. They had it in their heart, and they desired to protect our fisheries and certainly keep boating on the waters of our Commonwealth safe. So I'm a little taken back by the abrupt program being discontinued. When I first came on in 1981, there was 1,000 deputies in the Pennsylvania Fish and Boat Commission.
Wow.
That has dwindled to 36. The amount of training hours and time and energy put into training the deputy officers is a lot. If you're trying to get into the law enforcement business, the deputy program was a great stepping stone. I myself became a state constable. with the training that I had from the Pennsylvania Fish Commission, and it greatly affected my life. It made me understand the importance of law enforcement for law enforcement in the conservation field and law enforcement in society. It's a little heartbreaking to see this program stop, because right now, as far as fish and boats concerned, there's not enough full-time officers to fill the vacancies in our 67 counties throughout the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. I know Officer Krebs, who is the only fish deputy in Schuylkill County, has been assigned from time to time to Blue Marsh Lake in Berks County to help the full-time officers. And I know that some of the deputies, in absence of a full-time officer, has been in charge of the trout stocking in the preseason and in-season, past trout season. So I think with all of the energy that was expelled for these 36 fish deputies that are still currently employed up until September 1st, I think it's a shame that their personal resources are being wasted for the protection of fishing and boating in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And I just want to make that clear, that that's just my opinion. I don't know what the real reason for the program being terminated, but we'll find that out in the future. So we'll just leave it go for that, Jay-Z, till more information comes about, and it is what it is.
Just seems that was a long time that they had that,
It was a long time. Yeah. It was wrote into the codes a long time ago that there was a provision in the law that the commissions may appoint deputy officers. It did not say that they had to. So on the Fish Commission's defense, it was a great program. I think personally it helped the full-time officers. It helped the conservation efforts of the people of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. So I think that I kind of think it was a bad idea, but we'll see what happens.
Indeed. Well said. Well, I know those guys will feel much appreciated now since you weighed in on that. They wanted to get your take on that when that story first broke, and it caught everybody by surprise. So,
okay. So right now we have Porcupine Pat McKinney, our
legend,
our legend of legends, and we have Hemlock Hannah Kubitsky.
On her way to being a legend.
On her way to be a legend. So throw it out to you guys. Whatever you want to talk about, it's all good.
Well, thank you, John. Well, I want to give a shout out and a thank you to coming to my summer camp this summer.
It was very, very interesting.
Yeah, you learn a lot.
Yeah, it was good. What had happened is, again, I'm a retired fish officer, but it's still in my heart to come out and teach the kids. I'm a certified Pennsylvania fishing instructor from Fish and Boat. And Hannah asked me to come down and help her with her fishing program down at the Schuylkill County
Fairgrounds.
I rigged up 20 some rods, and
it's awesome.
It was great. We had some casting demonstrations. We had knot tying. We had a little bit of fish identification. And actually, when we took the kids fishing, I think one of my kids caught the most fish. So
how many?
It was four.
We all had four on my end too. We actually, one of our coworkers' daughters caught every time her rod, her hook touched the water for a second, she caught a fish.
So it was great to be out there, and take these kids to go out and actually fish. I mean, most of the time my programs are tailored to being inside, but this was rather unique because we had the opportunity to have some classroom services, and then we went out and we actually fished in Bear Creek. And one of my students caught a green sunfish, which is something that we do have here in our watershed, but we don't have very many of them. Most of them or bluegills, or believe it or not, pumpkin seeds, and that's a type of a panfish, which is one of the only panfish that's native to the Schuylkill River drainage system. Believe it or not, bluegills were introduced into our waters. They originally belong in the Ohio River drainage, which is part of Lake Erie. So it's all neat kind of stuff to know, which is not important, but it's important to me. But we had a good time. Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you for coming.
It was a great day. A little warm, but a great day to see the kids out fishing. And believe this or not, it took me about 2.5 hours to set up these fishing rods, put reels on them, put line on them, get hooks on them, bobbers, get everything ready. And Hemlock Hannah let each one of those kids keep a fishing rod. So
there you go.
We have 22 new fisher persons out and about thanks to Hemlock Hannah's program and the expertise of my staff to train these kids to just give them a little piece of the knowledge and a little piece of what we do.
And thank you to Cabela's. They had a rod donation. So basically, if anyone wasn't using their rods, if they had any extra rods, you could donate them to Cabela's, and then they'll donate them to youth programs. And so we got some from Cabela's. So shout out to Cabela's as well. And shout out to the whole community for really coming together and helping support this new endeavor of like week-long, day-long summer camps. It was really, really beautiful thing to see. All the kids were so excited to fish and to get their own rods. They were just astounded, and it was really beautiful to watch them fish.
It was a great day.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yep. So, that was most of my summer. So I'm very sleepy today because I think my body is still recovering from my very long days of summer camp for multiple days. But it was well worth it just to see how like young children getting excited about the environment, and also there's not a single screen present. There wasn't a single time. I was shocked that I didn't hear like, oh, can I? Oh, what about my iPad? You know, like the kids were having fun playing, getting outside, getting that excess energy out, which they had quite a surplus of. I wish I could steal some of it for myself.
Yeah, me too. They were running me down.
Yeah, running laps around all of us, but they were really great. And we had 4 whole weeks, different themes. This was during our Water Warrior Week, and so we bestowed a rod to each child to complete their water warrior journey, which was really sweet. But it's going to look like a nice, much more relaxing end of summer and fall for myself and Porcupine Pat. We have a couple of events coming up, but our big one is our Lakefront Fest. That is Sunday, October 11th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Sweet Arrow Lake. And that's a really fun event. We have the clubhouse just stuffed with environmental educators with different tables. And we have Possum Patty again this year, who was outside with her petting zoo. And we also have our crafts in the pavilion along with free pumpkin painting and a coloring contest for both children and adults. And I had mentioned that things are free. The entire thing is free to attend. There may be some, fingers crossed, some cookies made by STC North students. They were really great last year, I have to inquire. And those were by donation. And we had maybe one or two vendors last year where their items are not free, of course, but everything else, it's free to do all the activities. It's free to show up and park and everything. And it just was a really great time, and I'm looking forward to that. I think it'll be a great time.
Okay, so right after we got done with the kids down at the fairgrounds, myself and my Schuylkill Headwaters staff went to the St. Joseph's School for Special Needs down in Schuylkill Haven, and we put on a indoor fishing program for the students there. And that was quite interesting. It was a great morning to spend with the kids, and we are hopefully going to be able to take a couple of the adult students out and do some actual fishing here before the end of the summer. So I've been busy, And I know Hemlock Hannah's been busy. Porcupine Pat, what do you got for us?
That goes without saying. He's busy.
Oh, boy. Well, I have two items on my plate right here that I'd like to share with your listeners here. Tomorrow night in St. Clair at the St. Clair Community and Historical Society, which is on North Nicholls or Nicholas Street, depending on who you talk with,
right.
I'll be doing a program that's titled Here's How Schuylkill County and Pennsylvania Helped to Build a Nation. And keep in mind, we had a lot of clout back in the day, and, well, frankly, some people say we still do. We were the third most populated county in Pennsylvania. We had a lot going on. Resources out that you could not believe. Our prosperity is dependent on resources, from coal to timber to waters, all that. Anyway, tomorrow night at 6:30, there's a free program that I'm putting on, and it's going to be about how Pennsylvania created a lot of things, everything from the first library, the first drugstore, how Schuylkill County, as an example, we bought the very first automobile in the entire United States.
Wow.
And people don't know our own local history. We also created, I'm sure, Jay-Z, you heard about this, we created cable television up in Monoy City.
Yes.
Service electric cable, you know. But I'll be sharing a whole lot of other interesting tidbits. I'll have handouts. I have goodies for people. And again, it's all free. So I feel that this is part of a bigger effort here because our history is dependent on our resources. And that's how I feel I can justify my time here with the Conservation District here. The second thing is I had the privilege of being and serving as a board member of our county's Historical Society on Saturday, September 12th, from 12 until 4 at the Historical Society headquarters, which is right up the street here on Center Street. It's right next to that Park Hotel and the Mexican restaurant that everybody loves to go to. We're going to be talking about Pennsylvania Dutch powwow. Now, I'm helping to put this together, but there's three bigger personalities than me, authors, people that have their own phenomenal websites and social media outlets coming here to talk about powwow. Now, I know what everybody's going to be thinking. This is all about Indians. No, it's not. It's a life skill. It's everything from helping with health issues to living in the rural setting, as an example. Now, it wasn't just Pennsylvania Dutch people that did this in the past. It's also other entities. For example, up in Hazleton, there was a woman that was so extremely popular with relieving headaches that all you had to do was take a handkerchief, wipe your forehead three times, put it in an envelope addressed to Mrs. Kennedy, Hazleton, PA, and you knew that she would be praying over that handkerchief and you would basically feel that you're being cured. Now, powwow, I could go on. I got interested in it because quite a number of years ago, I would be doing edible and medicinal plant walks at various locations, and there were always older people there saying, well, a lot of this is pertaining to Pennsylvania Dutch powwow. And acting curious, I asked, well, what is that? And because I'm not from Pennsylvania, and they were talking about how this was a big deal here in the coal region, also in southeast and south central Pennsylvania, where you have mostly Pennsylvania Dutch people. But again, this powwow festival, there's something that's on the Facebook page for the Schuylkill County Historical Society. It's free for members, and there's a $5 donation they're asking for non-members. Again, that's Saturday, September 12th from 12 until 4, and there'll be a whole range of information that will be shared about powwow.
Thank you, Pat. Let's move right on to Peggy Hentz from the Red Creek Wildlife Center.
Good morning. Thank you for having me here.
Welcome, Peggy.
Hey. I have a couple cool wildlife topics, but first a couple news bits from Red Creek. First of all, we released all our fawns. We had over 20 fawns this year.
Wow.
And we changed where our release area. We used to release right at Red Creek. And We ended up getting a really wonderful local person who has a hay farm, and it's huge. And they were like, no, we're very happy to have the deer here. And he helped us build pens at his location, and the deer were moved there over a month ago, and it's going to be our new release spot. Wow. So if you don't see a bunch of fawns around Red Creek,
that's why
we actually moved our release site. And we are changing our hours. Most of our interns went back to college, so we've lost a bunch of staff. But the babies are still coming in, but our regular hours are now 9 to 4. They were 9 to 7 during the baby season. However, we do man our phones around the clock, so if somebody runs into a problem at 7 in the evening or whatever, still call us. And we have that after-hours drop-off room. Anybody can come 24 hours a day. There's a camera in the room that goes off, alerts a cell phone that one of our staff takes home with them, so we know when things are dropped off.
That was going to be my question. They can drop it off, but how do you know they've dropped it off? But
well, we do. It pings the cell phone, and then after they leave, we'll go back. I'm not going to have my staff going back to Red Creek with someone waiting there.
Right.
But we will go back and make sure that the animal is taken care of. And we have an event this weekend, Painting with Peggy. Yes, that's me. We did a fundraiser like this back in the spring, where we have people come and it's a guided painting. And the one we did in the spring was of Gabby, our great horned owl. Mm. This one is a vulture. And it's a beautiful painting with a vulture theme. The cool part about it is it's not just painting. It's you get to meet one of the animals represented by what you're painting. So you're going to get to meet Hannibal, actually Hannibal.
Okay.
Hannibal was Hannibal for 13 years until he laid an egg. And then he became she. And now it's Hannibal, but people will meet that. And these are really small classes. I guide them, and we take the 3 hours, and we're painting and talking, and there's refreshments. And you get to go home with your own personal painting that you can hang. And the one that we have chosen this time is really beautiful. But you can go on our website, and you can sign up. And we'll be painting with Peggy this weekend. My staff named it. I did not.
That's great.
And I can confirm that the phone does work after typical hours.
Oh, did you
reach out? I did reach out. I was in Bloomsburg. Oh, my gosh. I think it was about 2 months ago. I was on a date. Whoa. but then I almost stepped on a baby bird. And it was featherless, and we couldn't tell what was going on, so I called, and Lily picked up. I was like, hey, what's up? I'm in Bloomsburg, a little far away. And it was a starling, and I know those who don't like invasive species, including myself, might have been like, well, why'd you save it? But I was given instructions to, you know, put it back in the nest, and mm-hmm. so it was quite a debacle. But we didn't need to actually take it to Red Creek because we were able to return it to the nest.
That's good. Starlings are hard to re-nest.
They are. So
because they're cavity nesters, and it's really hard sometimes to figure out where they came from.
It was so hard. Yeah. They were in a cavity above, like, this, like, local, like, bar or something, and mm-hmm. we got a ladder that was 10 feet tall to like walk up, and wow. It was maybe not, we tried to be as OSHA safe as possible. I think we managed.
Did the right thing.
We did. So, but yeah, it was a fun time, but yeah, definitely I recommend calling, because even on their website, there's directions on, you know, what to do for different species, and like, it's better to call and figure things out. If you can, you know, rehome an animal at the time, then, you know, have to take it in a box, go back to Red Creek if you're far away. So they're very helpful. I suggest calling for anything.
Well, right now, it's still baby season, believe it or not. And it's going to be baby season through October. But there's new babies right now. The gray squirrels from Pennsylvania, they nest twice a year.
And oh, my gosh.
Yes, they're the first ones to nest and the last ones to nest. and they are having their babies right now. So if we end up with windstorm or trees, people are trimming their trees, you can end up with baby squirrels on the ground.
Yeah.
So a baby squirrel on the ground does not automatically mean that it needs to be rehabilitated. The first question is, why did it get there? If you know why it happened, like a storm just came through and it's windy, or somebody was trimming their trees, then this is an accident and the mother is still in the area. And the very first thing we should do is try to reunite the babies with the mother. The mother usually has alternative nesting sites, and she's very motivated to save her babies. And as long as the area is quiet for a period of time, she will come back, grab them one by one. It can take her a while, but one by one, and take them to a new nesting site. So here's what you can do if this happens, okay? First, you take the babies and you put them in a container that is high enough that the baby can't crawl or jump out of, depending on its age. If it does not have fur yet, if it's still pink or, but it's just skin, it may need some supplemental warmth. So you can take a sock and you can put some beans in it, some dried beans in it or rice, and put it in the microwave and warm it up. Put it out with the babies. And then you leave them completely alone and leave them there till sunset. If by sunset they don't, she has not gotten them, then they need to come in. Don't leave them out after dark, because she will not move after dark. If it happens close to dark, you can take them in the house, put them in a box, keep them warm, and put them out first thing in the morning at sunrise, because she'll be out looking, and leave them till maybe around noon. And if it doesn't work, then call Red Creek and come back. If there was no storm and it's like, well, we have no idea why this baby showed up, or if a baby comes running up to you, they will come and ask for help when they're in trouble. Baby squirrels are one of the only animals I know of that will personally run up and ask for help. They will walk up to dogs. They will approach people, stand on your shoe, run up your pants leg.
Wow. Whoa. Wow.
Yeah. Wow. They're like, help me.
Yeah.
A squirrel like that is absolutely in trouble. Get it to us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's still some other animals out there. Baby bunnies are going to be coming in until at least the end of September. They're starting to slow down, but they're still out there. So as you're mowing and as you're letting your dogs out, just keep in mind that bunnies are not just in the spring. Yep. And if you end up finding a nest and you have a dog, this is one of our biggest questions. You can take like a 4x4 piece of plywood and put it over top of the nest, let your dog out and run around and do its business, and then take it away when you take him in the house. Yes.
Hmm.
And just to keep him away from it.
Good idea.
Okay, well, I guess we're winding down here, Jay-Z.
Time flies, man.
Time flies.
Great program.
I'd like to thank everybody who came into the studio today. Hannah and Peggy and the infamous Porcupine Pat. And hopefully we'll all be back next month for show number 9 of 2026.
I'll be here.